All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Do not attempt to adjust your dial, ladies and gentlemen. We're sort of passing on our normal roll call music, and I wanted to bring it back to my hometown of Philadelphia. If you are a Philadelphian, you know that this particular theme has some sort of a sentimental meaning. If you're a watcher of WXTF Channel 29, of course, they use the world-famous Twilight instrumental from our guest today. What can I say? This is, I know I've said we've done special episodes of Questlove Supreme before, but this is probably super special. It's the first time I'm using the word super in front of it. So, as you know, we are here in Los Angeles, California, doing this in person and not on the Zoom. And the thing about where we're located is we're just kind of a stone's throw away from the iconic Capitol Records building. When you think of that label and if you're a lover of music, you think of Nat King Cole, the Beatles, and Beach Boys, and Duran Duran, People Bryson, Milk Boy, Pet Shop Boys, Lou Rawls, Natalie Cole, you know, but for me, in my childhood, when I think of that logo, especially the classic orange and brown logo spinning on the turntable, I think of our esteemed special guest today. And I will say that throughout my childhood, when we talk about you get a pass to the barbecue, you best believe that barbecue is going to be somewhat scored and soundtracked by our guest today. You name the classics. We should know them all. They're national anthems. Golden Time of the Day, Southern Girl, Joy and Pain,
Happy Feeling,
yeah. We Are One, Back in Stride, Silky Soul, and of course, you know,
The Morning After, The Morning After.
Woo! Yeah.
And
Silky.
Not to mention the national anthem of life is Before I Let Go.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
You know, our guest is the definition of the barbecue, despite the fact that I've never seen him wear anything but the color white. And as a Philly native, it is only right that we bring our brother on the show to celebrate his life and celebrate his career. And we have his family with us. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Questlove Supreme, the one and only, the legendary Frankie Beverly, along with his cousins, Miss Pugh, and Will. Thank you. I don't even need my own clap. I was ready to.
Amir, can I just ask you? We in DC would appreciate if you would say Philadelphia and DC's own today.
Yes. Okay. See.
Thank you.
Part of the running gag of this show is the fact that, you know, Laia often coats, which is where she's from today. You're from DC today?
Yes. I have to rep. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm from Philadelphia today.
Okay. We battling there.
But guess what? You're from Philadelphia too.
Okay.
Anyway, we thank you so much for being on the show.
There's a pleasure, man.
Thank you. There's so much like I want to know, and I'm so overwhelmed right now because you are a hero to all of us musically and whatnot. And I don't know. Just thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm fine, man. It's beautiful. I'm glad to see you guys, and it's just wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I guess what I would like to know is, were you born in, I'm claiming it as my hometown. I was born in your hometown. Were you born in Philadelphia?
Yes.
What part of Philadelphia are you from?
Born in North Philly.
Okay. Jill wins, not me.
Grew up a lot in Germantown.
Okay.
Yeah.
North side of things?
Yeah.
I'm from West Philly.
Yeah, okay.
And I think gentrification now has me saying that I grew up in Walnut Lane, which... They've recently called it. Yes, exactly. When gentrification comes through, yeah, I was once in the hood, and then now all of a sudden, University of Penn has taken over. So now
that's right.
We are to call it Walnut Lane. But I live in 52nd and Osage.
And that's okay.
When I mention like North Philadelphia for you, what can you describe to me about it?
Well, I grew up there. Grew up down in near the Uptown Theater.
Yes.
Around that area.
Were you often a witness of shows there, or did you watch a lot of shows at the Uptown?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Used to go around there, watch all kinds of stuff. And then got older and moved up to Germantown. And that's where I went to Wagner School.
You went to Wagner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Germantown High.
Okay. Black Thought and... Frankie Beverly have went to Germantown High.
Yeah.
Shout out to Spawn, too, who went to...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So roots related. You went to Germantown High School.
Mm-hmm.
You know, were you at all in your beginnings as a singer? Were you more gospel-based in, like, coming through the church, or were you doo-wopped? Like, what was your musical entry into...
Both. I went to church a lot and sang, but once I got going in school, that's when the other stuff happened. Other things came in my life, you know. And grew up down in North Philly, and then I moved back up to Germantown later on in my life, and went to Wagner Junior High and went to Germantown High School.
How long did you stay in Philadelphia before you, well?
Quite a while.
Okay.
Quite a while. In my 20s.
So was Raw Soul formed in Philadelphia, or was that your first band, or?
I'm trying to think. That's a good question.
The Butlers.
Well, the Butlers was before that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that named after streets of Philadelphia? Were you?
No.
So when you say butler to any Philadelphian, it's like, oh God, check.
No, it wasn't. I really don't know where it came from, but the name came.
The Butlers, okay.
Yeah.
I have to ask this question just for me. My father is also a doo-wop singer from Philadelphia, and so. That's how I knew, you know, of your music. He was in, my father's Lee Andrews of Lee Andrews and the Hearts.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's my
dad.
So,
I was a big fan of them.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. But like generally at the time, like what was the musical environment of Philly? Because, you know, we often talk about the sound of Philadelphia and people mostly think about like Gamble and Huff and what they've done in the 70s. But not many people know that Philadelphia has an even richer tapestry of music, doo-wop and, you know, with opera, like with everything. But for you...
It's more than what most people think. Philadelphia was a big-time music town.
Okay.
All sorts of things, you know. I got real tied into Frankie Lyman.
Was he your favorite singer?
He was one of them, during my young years. Okay. I was a real big fan of him.
Why you went toward Frankie, the name Frankie? Because Frankie's not your first name.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know this.
My name is Stanley.
I mean, I'm not. I didn't.
My real first name. My first name is Stanley.
Howard Stanley.
Okay.
Beverly.
So Frankie was from Frankie Lyman?
Yes.
Okay.
Did not know that.
Absolutely. He started me going.
What was it about Frankie Lyman that you loved?
He could sing, man.
Okay. Okay.
He could sing. He had a big impact on me growing up. Yeah.
I was about to say he had a big impact on all of us, because even when I was in first grade, so I went to a performing arts school in Philadelphia. First day of school, and our homework assignment was bring in your favorite song or your favorite 45. And I brought in Why Do Fools Fall in Love,
mm-hmm.
because my parents had tricked me. My mom hates when I tell this story. My dad tricked me into thinking that doo-wop music was new music. So I was in, this is 1976. So everyone else is bringing in the Bee Gees and Stevie Wonder and whatnot. And I brought in Why Do Fools Fall in Love, and mm-hmm. they were like, oh, this was out when I was a little kid. And, you know, every adult was 100 years old to me. So I came home, and then when my mom told me, yes, this came out in like 1958. And I thought that was like 1,000 years ago. Like, that's when I realized there's a timeline on music. Like, so I too loved Why Do Fools Fall in Love. And yeah, I see that. Did you have brothers and sisters that were in music as well? Like, did you grow up in a musical household?
I mean, my mother and father and my brother sang, but not like I did when I got in the groups real young. And so, Raw Soul, do you remember Raw Soul?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen on YouTube right now, I mean, there's a concert of Raw Soul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 75, 76 is,
yeah.
It's live on, it's some, I believe it's in the Bay Area or whatever. Like, it's just right before, it's Frankie Beverly Mays, mm-hmm. it was Raw Soul. And like, for me, like the audience reaction was the most exciting part of watching that. Like, as Raw Soul, how are you guys able to get that exciting reaction from the crowd without having, I would assume, did they have singles and a record deal before you guys transferred to Mays, or?
We made little records before okay. Mays came.
Okay.
Yeah. When Mays came along, when I went to California.
Okay.
While I was in Philly, it was, I can't even remember the name of the group.
Raw Soul.
Was it Raw Soul? Yeah, it was Raw Soul. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, but it Philly was my teacher. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a lot of good people, a lot of good acts out of Philly, a lot of talented people out of Philly. So yeah, it was a great place to be. I owe a lot of what I am today to that town. Yeah. Great, great town.
Well, that town appreciates you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the story of how Mays came into my life. I never knew the story of like Marvin Gaye, seeing you guys and discovering you guys until when I heard Silky Soul. Then I heard the backstory and whatnot about you paying tribute to him. But could you talk about like how Marvin Gaye's presence sort of changed you guys' life?
You know, you can imagine. I mean, to even meet him at that stage, and he was such a big brother to me. He used to let us open shows mm-hmm. coming up, you know. And,
what do you think that it was that he saw in you guys that made it special?
We were a group.
Okay.
We were a group. It was about five of us or something.
Okay.
We were young guys, but we could sing. Yeah, and he liked that. Actually did a Christmas kind of thing.
Okay.
Christmas.
Holiday. Christmas
yeah.
holiday. Okay.
And he got involved and helped us do that. And I was so young then, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was a good guy, man. Marvin is, wow, really changed my life. Got it going.
Beautiful.
And my mother and them loved him. Yeah.
Bet they did. It's Marvin.
Marvin Gaye. That's right.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonte, Fontigolo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson, I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
How would you describe the sound of Maze? Because it's really hard to describe. I mean, yes, we could say soul music, but there's something about the texture of that that really speaks to Black folks in a way that, you know, if we could figure out the formula, I'm certain that all of us would try to copy it and apply it. But it's really hard to tell. Like, what is it about?
That's interesting. I've never heard anybody, but I think you're absolutely right. It's being from Philadelphia has a big thing with that. Philly had a lot of talented acts.
Was there any moment or any time period that you guys ever thought about or wanted to record at Philadelphia International, like with Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, like to be a part of the Philadelphia International system?
At that time, I was so young, no.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't old enough to be tripping on that.
Okay.
But then I moved to California, and that whole thing changed. I got out there, and I still didn't sign with him, but I got close to him. And he's always helped me a little bit, too. Yeah.
Gamble?
Gamble.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's always been a big help to me.
What was it like watching the beginnings of his journey and this sort of slow rising of his sound? Like, what was it like as family members watching this?
Exciting. It was exciting because we saw the work that he put in.
Right.
It was rewarding for him and for the family, because we have a musical family.
Yeah.
And of course, not to the extent that Frankie has made it, but saw the work that he did, the long nights, the endless nights, I should say, that he kept going. He kept going, and he knew what he wanted to do. He never wanted to do anything else but sing and play his music. So that's what I saw. I saw somebody that was just determined. And that determination paid off. And he loved what he did. It was a passion there.
Okay.
The passion. He was passionate about his music. He loved to write. And I asked him this many times, a long time ago. He loved to talk about love. Love is his go-to word.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's his
You're
go-to word.
Right.
And he loved to talk. Back then, he, with the uprise of all types of things going on with the world, he started to think about those things too. And he talked about how, like, oh, this is horrible. I'm going to go write a song about this. And so that's how he came to the We Are One.
Okay.
People coming together instead of being apart. So he absolutely started to feel about, or start to feel how people were feeling about their own lives. And what about this? We should be as one. We should be helping these other people.
Okay.
So that's what I saw. I saw him just work hard and think about what other people were going through and just thinking about the love. That's really who he is, the person of love.
So would you say that songwriting was therapeutic for you in terms of expressing yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'll say that love, like, oftentimes I think people will tend to typecast soul music and R&B as somewhat like meaningless love music or whatever. But I don't know. I think coming from you, especially the way you sing, there's such a gentle,
comforting almost.
Right. Like, yeah. And it's such a gentle, normally gentle singers are like a, like high, like falsetto,
stylistics,
smoky stylistics. And so it's very rare to hear a baritone voice that's that gentle and that sort of thing.
Well, that's nice, man. I appreciate
it. Well, no, I'm reflecting to you what I'm only showing you what you are. But yeah, like in the 60s and 70s, when most lead black singers were high falsetto, high voices, whatever. For you, was that ever an option, like, to figure out? Because sometimes, like, Ronald Isley will go between his high voice and his low voice. But for you, was there
no,
ever?
No, I never thought of that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to be the singer. Singer.
All right.
Yeah.
The approachable everyday guy. Okay, I get that.
And that's what he really was, approachable. That's a good term, approachable.
I see that.
Yeah, he was approachable.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, what are you thinking, honey?
No, I was. You know what I was just thinking? I was like, yeah, because I was thinking about awards, and I was thinking about like these Grammys and these all these awards, and I was like, to my recollection, you guys don't have a lot of those, but the acceptance of you in the community, and I've seen you speak about this before, far exceeds. So that everyday manism that you're talking about is worth so much more, it looks like, than the untouchableness of it all, right?
Yeah, that's very true, honey. It seems like our people really supported us, even from a young stage too.
As much as we could, yes.
Yeah.
Now I've been to I've had the privilege of attending one of your shows. You came to my hometown at Raleigh, North Carolina. This was some years back, and y'all played this amphitheater. It was outside, and I mean, you came out and it was full of people and they sang every word. Like, they sang every word. I was like, if Frankie want to chill tonight, he ain't got to sing. Like, we going to sing for him. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But I think, you know, speaking of what Laie was saying, just, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we communicate to you today. You know, you were just a staple in our households. You know what I'm saying? Like, your music was like always there. And it was oftentimes too. It wasn't just your music was there, but your music was the soundtrack to some of the best times of our lives. Like, you always associated, I always associated Frankie Beverly and Maze with good times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like what you were saying about him singing with love, We Need Love to Live, that was like one of my favorite songs. Like, I would always play that. I even,
Cut Fonte.
A very long time ago,
I was like, wow.
I sampled it and rapped over it. It did not come out. I was saying that. I was 16.
Yo.
Never mind.
Shine, Golden Time of the Day? The Shining Part?
Yeah.
Was the original music, The Clones.
Oh, my God.
If you can ever mash it.
Wow.
But we couldn't make the loop work, and so we start all over again. But go ahead.
Yeah, but it was just always a spirit that came through in your music and just really spoke just to all of us and just made us all feel really good. And, you know, I've seen it, just the magic of you performing and people, you know, it's like you're a family member.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's so beautiful, that's you guys. You guys are going to make me start crying.
This is called the Frankie Beverly Takes His Flowers today. That's what it is. You know, I'm curious about, because now we live in a time when bands are almost non-existent. I come from a band of 11 members that, like, I mean, it's just, you're hard-pressed to find any bands existing today. But can I ask you, like, at times, in your mind, is it easier fronting a band, or did you ever imagine a life in which you were just a solo artist by yourself without, like, Frankie Beverly and Maze? Like,
no. Always part of a band. Never thought of myself as a single actor. Right. Ever. Never.
So at no point were you just like, hey, I'd like...
No. Oh, it was very moved by Frankie Lyman and the team.
Okay, so you always wanted to be in a band context.
Yeah.
I see that. For you, do you have any memories of like how you write songs or how ideas come to you?
Even today, I write songs that I want to sing about. You know, it's I want to say things that I think people want to hear about.
Well, I have a question about one particular song, which is the national anthem, because this is just hitting me right now.
No, it's the happiest breakup song ever.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Literally, when he said that, I was going through the, I said, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if it's you're the happiest breakup song, it still makes us
feel
good.
What song
are you talking
about?
No, before I Let Go, it's like, yo, you might as well call it, you better get on that act right. You might as well think all that.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid to ask, like, was that based on it? Like, do you write from real life experiences? Or I have friends that write, they'll express what their friends aren't able to express, or is experiences, but.
You know, that song, I remember writing it, but I don't remember what motivated that.
You forgot her on purpose.
No, but then again, some of the biggest hits ever are just like afterthoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, something happened. Maybe it was some thing I was in.
It was.
Well, then, you know, because the thing is that song is on the live album, and there's only two other studio cuts on there, so oftentimes I'll ask X, like, when they stick an extra song or two on the greatest hits or the live album, and they always say, oh, it was just an afterthought. Like, we didn't put much deep thought into it. Just we threw it on there and it became an anthem. Were you shocked? Were you shocked at how that song was received and won't go away ever?
I think I was shocked how that song took off.
Okay.
That's a good point. I mean, I liked the song, but I was blown away about how the people liked it so much.
Has there ever been a Frankie Beverly show in which you don't perform that song? And is there?
How do you want to go home?
Look, Nirvana spent a whole year never playing "Smells Like Teen Spirit." Like,
that's
a different
people.
Crowd.
Right.
These aunties and uncles, you don't get happy feelings.
We got
that's
dressed up in all white. We want to hear "Before I Let Go." Period.
Yeah. Is that a lie? Right?
No, that's true, honey.
Yeah.
Y'all are mentioning songs that people still want to hear now.
Right. But there's no songs like that you can skip. You, like Amir said, you can't skip "Happy Feelings" at a show. You have to sing it.
No, that's true.
Yeah. How did y'all decide on the name Maze for the band?
That is a good question.
Because I like Ross Ole too, but was it Larkin Arnold or someone at Capitol that was just like, nope,
no,
get a new name?
No, it was the band members. It was.
Well, I can tell you that Marvin Gaye didn't like Ross Ole.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't like Ross Ole.
He didn't like Ross Ole.
What did he feel was? Did it sound just ordinary to him, or?
Well, he just thought I needed to change, you know, and he found a little better name for it.
I just remember being a kid and, you know, my aunt, she would have y'all's albums and it was always
You try to solve the...
I actually would try to do the maze.
Yo, me too. I used to get the album cover and try to solve the maze. Like, no.
Yeah, and then get in trouble for writing on her album cover.
But, right, right.
But it was worth it.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Like, we have our favorites of yours as far as your songs are concerned, but what songs are your favorite in your catalog? Like, what's near and dear to your heart?
Ooh, boy. Just about all of them I did.
Okay.
I mean, if I recorded them, they meant something to me. They got me inside.
They're your kids.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick a favorite one? One that you like more than the other, or...
Oh, no, I don't like none of them more than all of them.
Okay. That's
acceptable. I thought it was a blessing, man, you know? When you're a writer and you, that's a blessing that comes from a man above, whether it be me or whoever, you know, like Stevie Wonder and people like, you know, it must be the same thing for them too. Yeah. When you're a writer and you come with this one thing after another, that comes from the major place. Yeah.
From another source.
Vessel.
Exactly.
Just a vessel. Yeah. Yeah.
Of all your albums, is there a favorite one of yours that you love more than, if I can't get to you one song?
No, I love them all.
Okay, I'm going to remix this question. All right, this is my question. If there was a way for you not to have to sing one of these songs that you're always singing at every single show, which song would you be like, oh, I'm so happy I don't have to sing that tonight. I love it, but I'm tired.
Well, wait a minute now.
Don't throw out the bag.
Yeah,
I mean, because these are songs you've been singing for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you never get tired of just, come on, before I let you go, I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, they'll sing it for him.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
he does not have to sing.
That's true.
I've seen it. Like it is so like he. It was a show. You came to Raleigh and Mint Condition was opening. And so Mint Condition opened. It was a great show. And you know you were doing your songs and everybody. I mean, like, literally, like, the whole amphitheater.
Said one word?
Yeah.
You. And that was it?
And that's it. He could have put the mic down. He could have danced. He could have did a step. He could have ate chicken. He could have did whatever. It was over. Like, they had him. And you, another thing that I was curious to know, if and if y'all can add on this as well, you know, the thing that's so amazing to me about your legacy is that you've been able to tour. Like, people, a lot of times with black artists, we have to, okay, if you want to go on tour, you got to have a new album out, or what new you got? What got? There's always this kind of pressure to feed the machine in order to be able to tour whatever. And you are always an example I've used. I'm like, look, Frankie Beverly ain't put out a new record in however many years, but people show up for him every time.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Every time. You know what I mean? What do you attribute to that longevity?
God.
There it is.
I wish I was that smart. But no, it just is what it is, and that's what I do, you know.
I have a question. What part of the United States do you feel is, like, your biggest fan base? Yes, I mean, I figured New Orleans because that's where you made the record. However, I've learned that, you know, Asheville, North Carolina also has a great audience, and Oakland has a great audience. So for you, like, what are the favorite cities of yours that you've toured throughout the years?
Most of them.
No, I mean, promises.
Most
I think this
the...
is why you're a success, because you're
yeah, you're real diplomatic. You can say D.C. It's okay.
Huh?
You can say Washington, D.C.
No, that's one of them.
Okay.
I think, you know, all of them. The major cities, all of them. I mean, I can't.
Chicago, I get it. Atlanta, yeah. where we are and where we have passion.
I'm telling you, it's amazing to me. I'm blown away by it too. I don't know what.
Excuse me, what is the white thing? What is the.
Why are you still my question?
It's a trademark. Yeah.
What is the inspiration behind wearing so much white?
Yeah, when did that become a thing?
Oh, I don't think I've been chipped on that. I think I was told to do that. None of the people who was making my clothes saw it any different than that. You know, they all suggested the same thing I was wearing all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so somehow they thought I'd need to stay in that groove that I was always in.
And if you saw some of his earlier outfits in his earlier years, he would wear red, all red.
Really?
All black.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he just stuck with the all white. But back in the day, it was all red, red hat.
Red, yes.
Yeah, because back in Strive video, that was definitely not a white outfit. That wasn't a white outfit time. Yeah.
I don't know too much else I've done. Nothing crazy, you know.
Good on you.
Right. Oh, okay. You're right. I'm looking right now. I had to go on Soul Train to see, and you're wearing all red right here. So.
But with the hat, though, right, Amir?
He yes,
hat
yes.
On, always with the hat.
And the beard. I didn't know you was from Philly, and then, you know, your beard was like.
The Philly beard.
You had a Philly beard, so.
He asked the question. I think it was that was back in the early 80s, and he was actually in L.A. when he did this show. And on that show, he asked, having a conversation with the audience out there, and they said, I understand that you all think that I'm bald.
Right.
Because I wear
right,
a hat.
Right.
Right. But he says, he pulls off the hat, and he says, I'm not bald, y'all. This is just a Philly thing. Philadelphians wear hats.
Right.
So that was a good moment for him.
Actually, wait. All right. So this is a Philadelphia question. And, you know, I grew up with a lot of uncles. My dad almost went through this phase. And, of course, you know, we knew the Spinks family and all that stuff. Did you ever go through the urban cowboy phase?
You mean the stables over in West Philly? Are you talking about?
Well,
are you talking about that kind of phase with all the kids were going?
Well, no. Just there was a period in like 76, 77, in which the entire, like all black men were just dressing up as cowboys.
Tight jeans and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, like Teddy Pendergrass would wear a 10-gallon hat.
I can see the look on his face.
He didn't go that way.
That ain't it.
I missed that one, too.
You ain't singing Happy Feelings in the cowboy hat.
No.
It was just Glenn Turner.
No, my mother and my family would have been jumping all over.
Hell yeah. From North Philly.
Is there anything that you have yet to creatively achieve or embark on that you would like to do that you haven't done yet? I'm trying to figure out like your other talents as well. I mean, besides singer, songwriter, producer.
There's some stages we're going to go to.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some things.
Anytime I've seen you, it's been in the United States, but what is his worldwide?
Yeah, he has.
The same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, everywhere likes us just like here. Yeah.
He's toured Europe. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in London, Paris.
Then Japan.
Yeah, Japan.
Have you ever been to Africa at all? Have you been
Not Africa.
Yet? Africa yet?
Oh not yet.
God.
Yeah, we haven't done a bunch Ooh. Of Africa.
No, I feel like South yet. Africa would love y'all. Like, y'all would kill
we
That's
think
a
so
good
too.
Point.
Or the Cape wow. Town, like, there's a, well, I think it's it goes on, but there used to be a jazz fest in Cape Town. And, I think y'all would kill it.
Hmm.
Long overdue.
Before we wrap, I do have one question. I'm certain that you're tired of answering this question. What was your feeling on Beyonce covering Before I Let Go and the reception that the world gave it?
I was blown away with it.
And what he told me when we were approached about Beyonce doing that, he respected her. Mm-hmm. And he had a good relationship with Jay-Z mm-hmm. and Beyonce.
Okay.
And so that he thought it, from what our discussion was, he thought that she would do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it would bring forth a whole new generation of people knowing his music.
Oh, so she didn't play it for you first? They didn't ask you for, like, had the song written? No, they didn't play it
No.
for you.
Well, you know, that song's a mighty mountain to climb, so, you know. And, you know, I will just say that, you know, you have provided us with such a timeless, beautiful soundtrack that, you know, will never go away. We'll be here forever. You know, you're the original feel good music, and you know, I want to thank you just for stopping by and saying hello to us.
Ah, oh, man, thank you for all the years of music and good times and everything.
All that real. Joy.
Yeah.
All that joy and that love. We felt it.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate y'all's. You know, you're going to make me cry.
You're going to make us cry. I was crying when you walked in the door. And you got all white. I was like, Lord, Jesus.
Right. It never stops.
Yeah.
No, but thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for taking your flowers. And, you know, more flowers for Bill Sherman. Yes, that's all. Bill's there to make sure that everyone gets flowers.
Important.
Frankie Beverly, ladies and gentlemen.
And the best cousins in the world.
Yeah, straight up.
Cool. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And on behalf of, you know, Fontigolo, Sugar Steve, Unpaid Bill, this long, giant applause. And thank you guys so much for coming and visiting us. And we'll see you on the next go-round of Quest Love Supreme. All right.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
This is Sugar Steve. Thank you for listening to Quest Love Supreme. This podcast is hosted by Amir Questlove Thompson, Laia St. Clair, Fonte Coleman, Sugar Steve Mandel, and Unpaid Bill Sherman. The executive producers are Amir Questlove Thompson, Sean G., and Brian Calhoun. Produced by Brittany Benjamin, Jake Payne, and Laia St. Clair. Edited by Alex Conroy. Produced for iHeart by Noel Brown and Mike Johns. Audio engineering by Graham Gibson at iHeart's LA Studio.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeart Radio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today.
Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.